Hey guys, welcome back to the Design for More podcast. My name's Pastor Chad Harold, and I am thrilled you're joining us today. Now, as we continue this study on brain science in the Bible, we are looking particularly at the different ways that God has wired us and designed us so that we can best be used by Him to build His kingdom. It's all about figuring out and understanding that you and I were designed for far more than we think we are. So I hope you'll get excited. I hope you'll enjoy this message. I hope it's practical. I hope it's helpful. And I hope you'll continue to share what's happening here with those around you in hopes that it might too help them. So let's get ready for another exciting message. Here we go. Who we are is where happiness lies, but it is so often blocked by who we have become. Okay, so let's think about it for just a moment. We've spent multiple weeks, right, talking about all kinds of different things. A lot of it has been about who we are, how God's created us, all the intricacies, and reminding us that in salvation, we also step into the purpose that God has created you and I to live out, to be a part of in this world. And so who we are, how God has created us, that is where happiness lies. But in the world, the sinful world, the distracting world we've been learning about, the culture we live in, we end up evolving into things that God did not intend for us to evolve in. And in that, we no longer find happiness. We find pain and sorrow and confusion and frustration, maybe even anger. And so I want to share that little thought with you, or you could say a quote with you, to say that all of this, we must keep in mind that how God created us was with great precision and intention, but it is so simple to lose sight of the things that matter most, keeping our eyes locked on Him, and to be sucked into all the things of the world. Now, the last 2 weeks, really the last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, while looking at the brain and all the intricacies of science and all of that, ultimately we've spent a lot of time just reiterating how important it is that you and I lean into the Lord, that we, for lack of a better word, a familiar word, spend quiet time with God. And we looked at that scientifically as well as spiritually, how important it is. And I want to just open by closing that chapter, but I want to remind you of this thing, this thought, because as you and I are going to continue and really today start navigating through our thoughts, it is so important that in the process of weeding out the stuff we don't want to come into our mind, remember, capturing our thoughts, that we also make sure that what we let into our mind are the things of God. Okay, so let me share with you two passages just to start, because there really won't be a whole lot of scripture tonight. We're going to get into some very, very practical steps to do. So I want to start with this. Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So remember the word meditate. Psalm 1:2, one more verse. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates on it day and night." Now I'm going to show you something that's kind of cool, kind of gross. Okay, just going to give you a heads up. It's cool and it's gross. The word meditate in Scripture is the same word they use for the word ruminate. Does anyone know what the word ruminate means? One, two, couple. All right, so I warned you, okay? Warning. Can't leave now, but I warned you it's going to be a little gross. Ruminate is something that cows do. It's where they eat grass, they chew the grass, they swallow the grass, and then they throw the grass back up. Not that bad, right? Until they circle back for round two. And they eat that same, called curd, they eat that same throw up. Yes, other animals do as well. They put it in their mouth, they chew on it again, swallow it, throw it up. And they'll do that multiple times. Now you go, that's disgusting. Why did you say that? And please tell me there's some value there. Well, there is. Because cows do that for one purpose, and that is to get the maximum amount of nutrition out of the grass. They want to get every ounce of nutrition they can out of that grass. And so this is the process that has been instilled in them. Not sure what God was thinking in that process. Maybe you can ask him when you get to heaven, like, why that way? Is there other ways they could have done? But the point is, to get the maximum amount of nutrition of that grass, that's the process they must go through. Now, why would I tell you that? Because that's a wonderful process for you and I to think about when it comes to the Word of God. That we are constantly chewing on the Word of God as we absorb it. We swallow it, okay, symbolically here, right? Don't go eat your Bible. But you swallow it symbolically in the idea that I'm not only allowing it to come into my mind, but I'm letting it to sink into who I am. Meaning, I want it to become something that I do. I want to not just know the Word of God, but I want to live out the Word of God. And so then what happens is the rumination process is that that word will come back up to our mind, and we're going to process and chew on it again. And we're going to constantly be chewing on the Word of God, similar to a cow, in hopes that we get the most nutrition out of the Word of God that we possibly can, but on a deeper level, in a way that the Word of God would not just be a book that's here, but it would be something that Scripture would tell us to be written on the tablet of our heart. Now, that has nothing to do with science, but it has everything to do with protecting our minds. That the best way for us to not only keep our thoughts out is to make sure the things that fill our hearts and our minds are of God. And the best way to do that is to make sure it comes from the Word of God. So, the tip for you today is to be like a cow. Just end there, all right? Don't tell that to anyone unless you explain the whole thing, all right? Just be more like rumination. Don't do that. That's not good. Okay. So there you go. The last few weeks, that's what we've been focusing on. Now, here's what we're going to do today. Periodically throughout the last couple weeks, we've been referring to this potential detox that the book that we've been studying has been referring to. And today's the day. Now, don't freak out if you're new. Like, we're not having a drug detox or an alcohol detox or anything like that. This is going to be a brain detox. It's a 21-day brain detox that you can choose to participate in or not. But what I'm going to show you that happens in this process is going to be extremely helpful for you. And so I would highly recommend that you consider doing this on your own as an individual. But that's what we're going to do today. I want to explain to you in great detail what this process is. I want to show you why it's important. And then along the way, we're going to learn a few things. And then at the very end, I will take us through step one. Now, I've given you a handout. If you didn't get one, we can grab it in the back. But I've given you a handout that's going to break down the five steps in a much simpler way so that you can read the whole thing. You can get a grasp of what's taking place. You could even begin the process today or tomorrow if you so choose. This is all on you, okay? So we're not going to do a test to see if you're doing this. This is just something we're extending to you. We are giving you information that I hope will be extremely helpful. So don't worry about reading ahead now, but I'll let you know when you can turn to a page or two that might be helpful as we go. One thing I will say, though, the last page is just blanks. And so if you want to jot down some notes as we're going through this again tonight, I'm going to give you kind of the overview. And if time allows, we'll get into step one. And then the next 2 weeks, we'll cover two steps at a time. Now, you may be asking, why covered steps if it's already in the pamphlet there? Well, the reason is because that is in simple form. And so you could read that pamphlet and you can get the whole idea of what this detox is going to look like, and you can go start the process and it'd be very successful. What I want to do today and the following weeks is I want to take each step and I want to show you to an extent what's happening in your brain each time one of these steps is taking place so that we can really understand, see the science, but at the same time be reminded of how amazing our God is and how effective this can really be. It's not just the theory. There's science that's coming behind this. So should be a really cool, exciting week. But instead of letting you hang on for 3 weeks and then go, okay, now do it, I wanted you to be able to jump into the process, start doing it now if you so choose, and then we'll just continue to dive deeper and deeper in it as the weeks go on. Okay, that sound good? Sound good? So the 21-day brain detox is what this is called. Remember, it's by Dr. Caroline Leaf. I'm going to give you some information here just so you can kind of understand what we're talking about. This is a tool that was created by Dr. Caroline Leaf based on her science and on the Word of God. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, It's a lifestyle that basically what's going to happen is we are going to reacquire nerve networks that have begun to go rogue in our brain. Okay, so at the end of the day, it's taking that verse talking about capturing our thoughts. We're going to put some scientific elements to it, and we are going to do some work. In essence, what we're going to do is we're going to destroy toxic thoughts in our mind. Okay, this is going to be something that you're going to drive, but it's led by the Holy Spirit. Think about that for a minute. You're driving, but it's led by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? If you're married, it's like this. I'm driving, but my wife's in control. She's telling me where to go. I'm just turning the wheel. And she's, yeah. By the way, side note. I always step to the side when I say something like this so that you don't think it's theological or anything. It's just real life. Real life. My lovely wife is a horrible passenger when I'm driving. She does these crazy things where we'll be driving the speed limit. I will stop with plenty of inches in front of me, and she grabs onto the door like, okay, I'm okay. And I'm like, I know you're okay. I'm driving, you're in control, and you have your seatbelt on. All is fine. Anyways, that's a side note. Do you all do that? Well, I don't do it when she's driving, I'm just saying. Can I get an amen from somebody? Apparently not. Okay. It's cool. Some of y'all think all I do is pick on my wife. That's not true. It's just very easy with some of these topics recently. So I'm just sharing life with you. All right. So anyways, back to that. We're going to be in control of choosing to be a part of this process, but we are going to allow and watch the Holy Spirit lead us. So really, if you want to think of it in a simple way, we're going to be doing brain surgery every morning if you so choose to do this. You're going to be so intricately looking into your brain, thinking about your thoughts. You're going to, in essence, be doing brain surgery on yourself, not with any tools. Don't freak out, but it's going to be extremely helpful. So let's talk about what it is, okay? So, or how does this work? So each day, for 21 days, you will engage in a five-step process. These are the five steps right here. Gather, focused reflection, write, revisit, active reach. Let me give you just a one-sentence description of each one. We'll break these down as time goes on. Number one, gather. This is where we're going to begin becoming aware of the thoughts that are coming into our mind. So this is what we've been talking a lot of. We've been talking about how important this is. Now we're going to start using some tools to help us actually do this. So as we go through the gather process, we're going to be learning about what happens when things are coming into our mind, the senses and all of these things, and how memories work and how emotions and feelings work. We're going to learn about all of that in the gathering stage. But in its simple terms, we're going to practice becoming aware of the thoughts that are coming into our mind. And hopefully over time, not just in the time we're in this class, but if you can continue working on this, hopefully you and I can get to a point which is proven to be possible where there really isn't a thought that comes into our mind that isn't checked. There isn't a thought that floats in our mind that we don't train ourselves to go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. It's like a red flag shoots up in your head and goes, wait a minute. This, I need to look at this. I need to think about this. Remember we talked, I need to step outside of my mind and look at this thought because this seems alarming. This is the gathering process. Number two is focused reflection. So this is where we're going to integrate and create a new healthy thought, okay? We're going to do this together in just a minute. But so we have this toxic thought. Now we're going to create the positive thought, okay? You can think of it in a simple way. It's going to be the opposite of this negative thought that's been whirling around in your head. What is the positive of this? What's the thing we want to get to? That's what we create in step two. Then in step three, we're going to start to write down the words, thoughts, images, scriptures, quotes, anything that comes to mind as you're thinking about this new thought. You're going to jot it all down. So highly encourage a journal or just paper you can have access to, or maybe use the note app on your phone, but you're going to be writing things down as you're processing all of this. You're going to be able to look back and watch and see how God's been doing work in your mind. The fourth one, again, remember, we're just flying through these just as a kind of bird's eye view. We're going to revisit. So we're going to plan a solution to replace the toxic thought throughout the day. So let's give an example. Let's say that your thought is you don't feel adequate enough. You don't feel adequate enough. Maybe it's in your job. Maybe it's just in life in general. If that's a struggle, that is considered a toxic thought. I do not feel adequate enough. Let's use your job to do my job. I don't feel like I belong here. Da 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 da. You can see how the mind begins to wander. All the things we've been talking about. Well, maybe you're going to say, okay, you know what? I have a hard time believing this, but I know scripture tells me and people tell me that that's not true. So I am going to tell myself that I am adequate enough, because if I wasn't, I wouldn't be here, right? So we start to work on our mind. Well, we're going to start writing things down in step three, writing all the things that come to mind, the quotes, the scriptures. But then in step four, we're going to come up with something that we can do to, if you will, help us activate that. So some examples, and again, we're going to get into this when we get to step four, but an example might be, you know what? Every time I see a mirror, no matter what I'm doing, in my mind, I'm going to tell myself, do not forget, you are adequate enough for this job. That may be the thing. And then in step five, you're going to try to do that 7 times a day. It may not be a mirror. Maybe it's something simple like, I'm gonna rub my shoulder. It could be something as simple as that, something that no one knows about. It is not between anybody else. It's just between you, your mind, and the Lord. But I'm gonna rub my shoulder 7 times a day, and every time I do it, I'm reminding myself of that thought. I'm constantly flooding my mind with, I'm not inadequate. I am adequate. God has placed me here. He's put me here for a purpose. I don't know what that is yet. Maybe I'm still figuring that out. But 7 times throughout the day, I'm gonna remind myself this positive thought. I'm going to integrate it into my mind. Now, we'll dig into all that in much more depth, but that was just a bit of an overview of what this is going to look like. Now, let's look at some basics here, okay? As we're doing this, we're destroying toxic thoughts and we're trying to bring in healthy ones. So, because we're all a family here, you don't have to share something that's personal, though you could, and we won't know because this is an open forum. I thought it would be helpful if we wrote down some toxic thoughts. They could just be random, but I want to inspire us, because sometimes we can get really simple-minded, right? Like, yeah, no, I'm going to have a good day today. Well, that's wonderful. You have a great day, but we're trying to deal with your life here, okay? This is deep stuff. This is stuff from your past. This could be stuff that happened to you. It could be stuff that you did. Whatever it could be, it could be that thought, like we said, I feel inadequate to do my job. I don't belong here. Or I don't feel like I can be a mom. Fill in the blank. Now, there's a page. I don't think there's page numbers on there. Find that page that has a few examples. That'll help jog your memory. We're just going to take about 3 minutes. I want you guys to just throw out some random potential toxic thoughts. They don't have to be yours. Let's just get some on the board. Inspire, get our minds thinking of what a toxic thought could be. I'm going to give you the first one. There's some others on the page here. This one's really deep, okay? We're just going to start here. Then we can take it away. I don't think I love my spouse anymore. Would that not be a toxic thought we might want to deal with? Could be in this room, could not. But let's be honest. We live in a fallen, broken, sinful world that's full of tons of distractions and a lot of things in the world telling us a lot of things to believe that are absolutely not true. They don't all have to be this serious, but I wanted to broaden the horizon a little bit. These are bigger than just, I want to have a good day. So let's throw out some others, just some examples. They don't have to be that intense. They could be smaller, but let's just spark some thinking here. Go ahead. Anyone, throw it out there. Lost, whatever you got.
Lost in the calling for my future.
Like, okay.
Lost in the call for my life. Worried about the future. I don't know how to word that.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right.
It's like, I don't think God has a plan.
There we go. I like that. I didn't want to get too extreme.
Yeah.
I don't think, I'm going to put I don't, save some time.
Yeah.
God has a plan for me. That's good. That's a legitimate thought that a lot of people struggle with, especially new believers. Mm-hmm. What else? You got one?
Yes. And does God love me?
Yep. Very good. Very good. Yeah. Does God love me? Absolutely. We struggle with this one. We struggle with love usually in general in our life. What else? Yeah.
I hate him.
I hate him. Very good. Very good. Very good. You think that's a toxic thought floating around someone's mind? You betcha. You betcha. How about, let me add one that'll bounce off them. We'll use her this time. How about, I can't forgive her. Could be a parent, could be a spouse, an ex-spouse, could be someone when you were growing up, maybe some kind of abuse that happened when you were a kid. Give me a couple more. Go ahead.
Too judgmental.
Too judgmental? Word that in a way. So you're saying the person having that thought just is judgmental to everything?
I'm saying that I'm too judgmental sometimes.
Okay.
My kids, my family.
Okay, okay. Yeah, let's write that down. We might have to, when you're writing, and this is good practice. When you're writing, you're figuring this out, right? Like, I know this is floating in my head, but I may not have been able to process it, but now I'm putting it to words, which means I'm able to think about it, which means I'm able to attack it, which means I'm going to be able to fix it. So we'll put what you said, I'm too judgmental. We'd probably want to word that in a way, but that would be all part of the process, right? Every day, working through the process. Give me, let's get two or three more. These are good. Go ahead.
I'm not as good as him or her.
Oh, okay. It's good. I'm just going to put them, just to be similar, as good as them. All right. Let's go to 10. Why not? I like even numbers. When I write workouts for people, it always has to be even. They really get mad at that because the last two are always the hardest. What else? Yeah.
How about something you've done in your past and you can't forgive?
Yeah.
So
since we got forgiveness, let's do guilt. But I think, but absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Let's say they will never forgive me. I do think a lot of our toxic thoughts in these early stages will probably come from years past rather than current situations. So keep that in mind as you're navigating your own stuff. By the way, this is all private. You don't have to share this with anyone. I will never ask you. Always willing to talk with you. But keep that in mind. Some of these things you're going to write down and you're going to safeguard and lock that thing because in it, no one else's business. But if this is rattling around in your head and we need to deal with it, it's worth it, right? It's worth it. So it may be from your childhood. It may not. Okay, let me get you right here.
I'm a terrible parent.
Oh, man. Struck the chord of half the room. All right. All right, give me one more. What you got? Ooh. I love that. I love that. I can't stop eating. I can't. Yeah, we'll say no self-control, but you could see how you could get real specific with that. All right, I thought I saw one more hand. We can write. Go ahead. What you got?
I'm not equipped to deal with the world.
Okay. All right. That's good. Oh, man. Now we're at 11. We got to go to 12.
Sorry.
I'm going to say with that, and we'll put world in parentheses. I will say one tip, not equipped to deal with the world, definitely a good thought. Narrowing it down will help you have much better success at conquering those thoughts. So keep that in mind. Pinpointing, because a lot of times, big things like this generally can be narrowed down to something specific that just carry over. Okay, give me my one more.
Just looking more hurt.
Ah, love that. Love that. That's right. So let's just stop that. I would say pause, but we could probably go on. So let's just stop. Okay. Now, some of these super intense, right? Part of me prays none of us have to go through, well, any of these. But let's be honest, right? We're all human in this room. I hope we're all believers. If not, please talk to me after class. We're all believers, but we're all sinners. So we are forgiven, yet we still struggle with sin. So, and listen, guys, some of this stuff, look, some of these things, right? Hear me carefully. Self-inflicted. I made a decision that caused this problem, and that's the toxic thought that I'm dealing with. Or the repercussions of that is the toxic thought that keeps rattling my head. But some of these things were not self-inflicted. Some of these things were done to you by someone else. This child abuse in one way, shape, or form keeps coming up in my mind. It's just someone that hurt you maybe when you were a kid. That probably, I'm going to have a safe bet to say, probably still plagues you to this day. You still think about that. You still struggle with that. Thoughts like, I'm either, depending on how bad the abuse was, I'm dirty. Doesn't matter what I do, I'm dirty. I can't get over that. I'm dirty. Even though someone did something to me when I was a kid, the thought of I'm dirty comes in. Or the thought of I'm broken. I didn't do it to myself, but I'm broken because of what happened to me so long ago, or maybe even recently. I'm broken. These are examples, all of these and many more, of what a toxic thought could look like. Now remember, it doesn't have to be extreme, but since most of us, if not all of us, are diving into this for the first time, it would probably be beneficial for your own well-being to find the darkest thing that's plagued you for your life, or at least in the last year or so, and work on that. The whole point of this is to find freedom. It's to take Scripture at its word that Romans tells us that we can transform ourselves by renewing our mind. If God tells us to do that, it must be possible. Therefore, we're going to figure out and we're going to work on how to do that. So here are some toxic thoughts. The list could go on forever. Maybe as we were writing, maybe you even started jotting some things down. Maybe you're waiting until you get home. Totally understand that. On that note, for those of you that are married, I'll give you some tips here to think about. This may be something you share together today. This may be something you work through apart until the 21 days or longer is over, and then you might share that. I would not keep it forever from each other, but it would be understandable if this may be a self-process between you and the Lord. But don't leave your spouse out of it. It's just a little side tip for those who are married, but don't feel pressure either way. We got to let the Lord lead. But I think if communication feels appropriate, I would highly recommend that, because it is far better to do it with someone than to try to conquer these things without. Toxic thoughts. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to destroy toxic thoughts one at a time. And that's the tip. That's the key. Not the tip. The key. One at a time. Okay? Because if, God forbid, you were going through all of these, I pray that's not possible. But if you were going through all of these, or just three of these, you're not going to be able to really take care of one if you're covering a whole bunch. So we're going to focus on one. We're going to work on that for 21 days. When the 21 days are up, we could run through it again if we feel like we haven't conquered that thought yet. You may go three different 21-day cycles. In fact, that's not uncommon, especially early on or with major toxic thoughts that have plagued you for a long time. But you're going to keep going until you feel like you have control. I love this example. This wasn't in the book, but it's something that I've been thinking of. I remember reading another book years ago, and this guy was writing. This is a really sad story. He was writing about, I also just realized we're not going to cover everything I wanted to cover today. This guy's writing about something that happened to his sister. Maybe this is why I keep coming back to child abuse. This guy was writing that his sister was abused, sexually abused, by someone that was very close with their family, and it happened for years and no one knew. This guy went to their home, had dinner at their house. He was basically a part of the family, but not part of the family. And so when her older brother learned about this story, as you can imagine, he was furious, hated the guy. Rightfully so. He became a pastor years later. And this element here, that situation had plagued him for years. And finally he said, I knew that as a Christian, forget as a pastor, as a Christian, I had to find a way to forgive this guy. And I didn't know if it was possible. So he talks about in this book, starting this journey of just telling himself, he was doing this stuff before he even knew what it was. He was telling himself every day he'd wake up and say, I forgive him. And he said, I'd say it. And at first I didn't believe it at all. I was just saying it to check the box. But he said, over time, I started saying it. And eventually I kind of started to think it might be possible. I didn't do it yet. Wasn't ready to. Didn't want to release him of what I thought he deserved. But I started to think maybe it could one day be possible. And over time and over time and over time and over time, he finally got to a place. And it took a long time. He finally got to a place where he felt like he could release all of the anger that he had. He forgave that man. He wrote him a letter. He sent it to him. The man actually received it on his deathbed. He couldn't read. He had lost his eyesight. And so the nurse read it to him. And that man received Christ in that room based off the forgiveness that he received for a heinous crime, by the way, crime. But because he was able to forgive him, he was released. And the man that had caused the pain ended up still finding the Lord. Now, I don't think any of us would pick that story, would we not? Not a single one of us would want anything to do with that. But it is a reminder, one, of the power of the mind, the power of God, and on a side note, the reality that the gospel is truly for everyone. So I think about that story, and it helps me to process this, because I got to tell you, for some of these that we've wrote up here, man, it's going to be hard to just change that thought from toxic to positive. I don't hate him anymore. I don't see myself that way anymore. I don't think it's going to happen overnight. We know that. But this is going to be hard. But I'm telling you guys, if we work on it, we work on it, and we ask God through the Holy Spirit to lead us, it is possible. Now, let me give you a few more. I shouldn't have sidetracked that quickly. Let me give you a few more things just to help you understand what we're doing. This process is based off Dr. Leaf's research. The official name, you can write this down later if you want, but it's the Geodesic Information Processing Theory. That's what it's called. And the idea, again, is you're going to work on one thought network at a time, breaking down one thought while simultaneously rebuilding a healthy one in its place. Now, here's some important information. The process is going to take you, some of you are going, if you hadn't read the packet yet, which most of you did, how long is this going to take? This sounds like this could be an all-day process every day for 21 days. It's going to be a 7 to 10 minute process every day. 7 to 10 minutes every day for 21 days. At the end of 21 days, you may need to start back over. You may start on a new thought and continue to work on yourself one day at a time. But it's going to take 7 to 10 minutes. Now, a word to the wise. She wrote in here specifically, it's 7 to 10 minutes minimum, but that we need to be careful. And here's why. We're dealing with toxic things. Almost all of these that are up here are really tough. And so, if you've ever noticed, when a wound that had a scab opens up, it has far more pain, right? Because it's open. It's an open wound. I remember years ago, someone that I knew went through some trauma and this person's life had gone away to get some help, to get some therapy, and had come back a little too soon. And I remember interacting with this person, and it was a totally different person. The language, the tone, just the darkness, that it was unbelievable. And what happened is this person just came back too soon, immediately went back, finished getting help, and truly came back a different person. Different than the mind, but believe it or not, a lot of this stuff is what they use at that same facility, by the way. But I saw a person come back in the middle of an open wound, and you wouldn't have believed it was the same person that left or that came back. So the point is, we're only spending a few minutes on these things because you can imagine that as you start to think through that toxic thought, your mind, if you're not careful, could begin to wander. So you want to be very, very careful, and you want to follow the steps precisely. And you'll see in your packet, it even gives you a little time window, 1 to 2 minutes here, 1 to 2 minutes here, 1 to 2 minutes here. Stay focus. For some of us, the toxic thought won't be that bad and it's okay, but there may be some of us that are digging into some dark stuff. Limit yourself and come back the next day. But that was her word to the wise, and I would extend and say I feel like that's a very great word for us to consider. Now, one other little, couple of little thoughts. One is, this is going to take determination. I think I already said that, but I want to reiterate it. It's going to take determination, okay, especially for those of you that are digging with some stuff that's really tough. Now, the research is showing that day 7 and day 14 are where you see some of the most incredible gains. Not always, but for a lot of people at day 7 and day 14, they were seeing some significant changes take place. So don't quit after 3 days and go, wow, this thing didn't work. What a joke, man. I thought it was all going to be healed. No, no, no. It's going to be a process, and it could take 68 days. All right? But it doesn't matter if it's going to get us to healing, right? Do it. The deeper the wound, the longer it's probably going to take. But the deeper the wound, the more it's taken from your life already. So let's not give it another day that we don't have to. So stay determined, stay focused, don't quit. And just remember that you're going to see some points there. And at the end of the day, look, what we're trying to get to is we want to get to a place where we can start in this whole process. We've been talking about capturing our thoughts, capturing our mind. We want to be in control. We want to get to a place where this is automatic, okay? Automatic in our life. That we have automatically trained ourselves to be on guard when thoughts, problems, things come into our mind. All right, it's like riding a bike, right? Or driving. No one rides a bike anymore. Driving a car. All right, they all have technology. You don't think about driving. We talked about that, right? It's part of the dangers. We talked about that in multitasking last week. You don't think about driving. You learned how to drive, and then you just drive home. None of you are going to think about putting your hands on the right spot, when to do this and when to do that. You're just going to drive because you know how to drive. It's become automatic in your life. We want that same thing with our thoughts. We want that same thing with this ability to conquer, to protect our thoughts. This is where we want to get to. And so what happens in that? Well, it's the same thing that happened when you're driving. How are you able to drive home and have no clue how you got home? Because when you were learning how to drive, it was in your conscious mind. Okay, it was an active thing. You were learning, you were processing, you were absorbing. Some of you can even remember, probably all of you can remember taking that driving school. Who was your driving instructor? I remember thinking of mine. I don't remember his name, but I remember the dude shouldn't have been doing the job. He was spending more time being funny. He goes, "We're going to take a right." Why? Because there's a right there. And I'm like, bro, you are not helping me learn anything. You're just cracking jokes, right? So we remember some of these things, but now I don't think about those things anymore. Why? Because the ability to drive has moved from my conscious mind to my non-conscious mind. What does that mean? I don't have to think about it actively because it's something that's now become automatic. Remember, we talked about the unconscious mind is far more powerful than the conscious mind. This is why spending time with God, quiet times with God, directed rest, when we engage in those moments, we are engaging into the spiritual being that God's created you and I to be. And even though you may, if someone were to walk in your office or your room and look at you, they may go, man, he's in a daze. You don't look like you're on drugs, of course, but you're just processing, you're thinking, you're praying, you're memorizing. It looks like nothing's happening, but in your brain, it is on a rapid fire and it's operating far more efficiently than it would when you're walking around. So this is how it works with driving and many other things. We want this same thing to take place. We want our mind to be in control so much so that it is an automatic thing that we do. Now, here's the question, who benefits? Well, obviously the science we've been talking about, there's a lot of people that have had brain damage and trauma and all these things. But at the end of the day, it benefits all of us because none of us are free from mind issues. None of us are free from mind issues. If we lived in a sinless world, it's possible we'd be free of mindless issues. But because we don't, all of us can guarantee we are going to have mind issues. Therefore, this is for all of us. One other thing to think about on a scriptural basis, when God created you and I as free will individuals, what does that mean? Free will means you and I have the choice to choose, the ability to choose whatever we want to do. I can choose to look at you, or I can choose to look at you. I could choose to, I won't, don't worry, take a swing at you. Or I could choose to give you a hug. I could choose to walk away because you're scaring me right now with how you're looking at me at the thought of me hitting you. Just kidding. I could choose all these things. I can choose God. I cannot. Remember we talked about that at Easter. I can choose to love people, or I can choose to be selfish. I can choose to take care of something that's plaguing my life. Or I could say, nah, it's too difficult. 21 days, not interested, too hard, I give up. But when God gave you and I, listen carefully, when God gave you and I the ability to make our own choices, we also in that moment got the responsibility to make the right choices, okay? So we have free will, which means we have choices to make. And we know that our thoughts come into our brain, they get processed, and then eventually they become action. They become out into the physical. So we have the ability to control all of these things. And it's also our responsibility. And it is given to us in the free will that God has extended to us. So we'll renew our mind with this. We're going to create some real change, and at the same time, it's going to bring us closer to God. And I don't know about you, but that sounds awesome. Now, here's a big question. When do we do it? When do we do this? You remember what we talked about a couple weeks ago? We said every morning when you wake up, little baby nerve cells were born. Do y'all remember that? We talked about Lamentations 3:23. It says, what does it say? The Lord brings new mercies every morning, right? That scripture and science have linked up together. We now know that when you fall asleep at night, little baby nerve cells, I don't think they're actually called baby, I just like saying baby, but little baby nerve cells were born while you were asleep, and those nerve cells have one job, but they're to be used in thought action. You can use them to build positive thoughts, or you can use them to build negative thoughts, but as scripture says, every morning when you wake up, you've been equipped with just a little bit more to be able to take hold of your thoughts. Praise the Lord that He's on our side, but at the same time, put those two and two together. If in the morning we've got some new stuff to work with, kind of makes sense to do this in the morning. Also leads to an argument that maybe our quiet times in the evening aren't as effective as in the morning. I'm not going to actually say that, but when I look at this, it makes me wonder, maybe in the morning might be better, because controlling our thoughts, rumination, right? Processing the Word of God over and over. Sounds like the morning may be a great time. Now, I have little kids. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do that. I usually do that when I get to the office. But we'll figure that out on our own as we go. But in the morning is the best time to do this process, because it is indeed when your brain is at its best position. You can think of it as, I'm going to feed my brain breakfast. In the morning, I'm going to do my brain surgery. I'm going to take control of my thoughts, and I'm going to conquer them. Okay. Oh, man. Tough call. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take 5 minutes to begin looking at step one. We'll always try to be out of here at 7:30 on the dot. I'm going to start the process. If I don't finish, we'll just pause. We'll come back next week, wrap that up, and move into two and three. But let me just share with you a couple quick things about step number one. Remember, in the point of the steps, I want to just try to take a little bit deeper to just understand a tad bit more, okay? So here we go. Part one, step one, is to gather, okay? To gather. Gathering is all about becoming aware of the signals that are coming into our mind, okay? So let's think about that. How do signals come into our mind? How do things in our mind float around? Well, they come in two ways: external environment and from our thoughts, okay? Now, external environment, number one, the first place they come from, external environment, this is the most understandable right now in the room we're in. External environment, you can think about all of your five senses are all activated. Well, all of this is helping to cause memories, okay? So think of it like this. Let's say that you're sitting at your desk. You're listening to some soft music in the background. Maybe you're reading your Bible or another book, but you're reading your Bible. You're listening to music. You're in a quiet place. You're sitting in a comfortable chair, and you're eating a piece of fruit, and you're smelling a scented candle. I've never done that in my life. Just kidding. If you're doing all those things at one time, one, you're multitasking, that's a problem. No, I'm just kidding. No, but if you're doing all those things at once, you're engaging all five senses at one time, right? Okay, so that is your, all five of your senses in that moment is your link to the mental world, okay? So you're linking into everything because your external environment is feeding what's happening in your mind. Now you're reading that book, but there's a lot of other stuff happening at the same time. Okay, so let's do a test. Think right now. Just think about your five senses. What do you see, taste, smell, hear, all that? Don't say anything, just think about it. What do you taste? Maybe you have a mint, maybe you have gum, maybe nothing. Maybe now you're really hungry, and I apologize, we're almost done. What do you hear? You hear my voice. What else do you hear? You hear anything else? You hear the air? Yeah. You hear maybe some paper rustling, right? Okay, what do you smell? Don't be weird. What do you smell? All right. What do you feel? You're sitting in a chair. Some of you are holding paper. Some of you are holding a pen. What do you feel? Okay. So these are all things. All of this stuff is sending information into your brain. So our external environment feeds our mind. So when we talk about gathering, okay, we're talking about noticing the signals that are coming in. Okay. So let's use an example on this. Let's use a car accident, okay? Let's use a car accident. How many of you have ever been in a car accident before? Okay, and how many of you have been in multiple? Okay, y'all don't count. If you've only been in one, though, you probably never forgot it, right? You remember where you were, especially if it was serious. You remember the feeling you had. You remember the sounds, right? You don't even realize it, but all of those senses you remember. Why? Because there was emotion connected to that, right? You get in an accident, either there's fear because you did something wrong, or there's fear because just something happened to you and you're scared, right? You were uncomfortable. You were taken out of your comfort zone. Well, think of it like this. In that moment, there was a car accident, okay? Forget how it happened, who was there, all that. There was a car accident. So what happened in your brain, okay, is information was brought to your brain. What's the information? There was a car accident. Something was wrong. Doesn't matter if you were wrong, but something was wrong. But in addition to the information came emotion. There was emotion, whether it was fear or sorrow, depending on the situation, whatever it was, there was emotion. So in your brain, the amygdala and the hippocampus have now taken that information and saved it. They've locked it away in your brain. Now, you don't think about the car accident all the time, right? I imagine every day you don't think about it. But the moment I asked you about the car accident, what happened? Okay, you are a bad example. All right. But immediately you started to think about the information and then you remembered the emotion. By remembering the emotion, or by more importantly, bringing the emotion from the non-conscious of your mind, right? Because the memory never left. It's always been there. It's just been filed away. When it came to your mind, the emotions are now met with feeling. Because believe it or not, emotions and feeling are actually two different things. Emotion happens in the brain. Feeling is what happens when the emotions are brought to the conscious mind and now you feel the emotions that were attached to the information. So a car accident is a wonderful example. You don't think about your car accident every day, therefore you don't think about the feeling that you had, but the moment you start to think about it, you can immediately remember because there was information and emotion attached to it. And when that emotion moves from the non-conscious to the conscious mind, all of a sudden you feel it. Some of you felt the very same feelings you felt when you had that car accident. Now, we could list a whole bunch of these, and we could give a whole bunch of examples. It could be when a parent walked out of a home and a child and their family were left without a parent, or someone passed away. We could fill in all these different kind of gaps. But the point is, in gathering, we have to understand what's happening, first of all, and then we have to be able to prepare ourselves or to protect ourselves from all the information that's coming in. The second thing that it comes from, the second area that signals come from, is actually inside the mind. So we use an example that covered both. Inside the mind. So the car accident's another great example. That memory was already locked in. You didn't need to feel anything on the outside. It was already there, but it's been brought to your attention. So I'll tell you something very transparent. I won't give you the information, but I'm telling you guys, I'm not just sharing this with you. I'm trying to work this stuff out in my own life as well. The other day, I woke up in the morning. I have no clue why. No clue why, but immediately a memory from, I'm going to call them my BC days, my before Christ days, flooded my mind. I have no clue why. I absolutely have no clue why, but I could remember vividly a specific memory that I would love to forget for the rest of my life. I'm telling you, I was almost mad. What is happening right now? Where did this even come from? This is years ago. Nothing has happened to spark that or anything. It's unbelievable. And it happened. And I'm telling you, I was thinking about all this stuff, and we're still learning it, right? So I'm like the open wound in information. I'm just like halfway there. So what do I do now? Where's the book I need to read? Because I have a memory that's got to get out of my mind right now. That's an example of what's on the inside. At any moment, that could happen to you. It probably does, right? Maybe it's not always bad like that. I wanted to forget that, but maybe it's a good memory. Memory of grandma when you were growing up and it just pops in your head randomly. There probably was something triggered it. You just didn't know it, but boom, here comes that memory. So when we're gathering information, we got to remember that it could come from the past, which some of these did, or it could come from what's happening around us, our senses. So gathering is all about processing the signal. So here's the simple way to think about it. When you sit down for step one, you're going to think broadly. We talked about this a while back. You're just going to let your mind run free for a little bit. All the little thoughts. Someone was telling me this earlier. Just when all the thoughts are just rapid fire and going through your mind, you're going to let it happen. Boom, boom, boom. Take about a minute. Just whatever thought. I'm thinking about this. I got to do this with my kid. I got this at the job. This is a problem. I've been struggling with this. Whatever it could be. Boom, 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 boom. And then we're going to narrow in on the one. That one thing that you know you need to work on. Billion other things the enemy would love to distract you with. We're going to cut all that out. We're going to focus on the one. And we're going to think about that thought. We're going to gather that information. We're going to siphon it out. And we're going to focus on the one thing. And then from there, we'll move into 2, 3, 4, and 5. But we don't have time for that tonight. All right? So there's step one. Now, as I said, if you want to start tomorrow, you have everything you need in the packet to get the ball rolling. And I'd recommend you do that. If you don't know what thought you're going to tackle first, give yourself a pause. Give yourself some time. Ask the Lord to help you think of, Lord, what is something that I really need to address? Because listen, guys, this is not me. I believe this with all my heart, okay? We talk about the Holy Spirit leading. I don't believe this is me up here trying to tell you something to do. I believe, however, whenever, whatever it took, that God has brought you here to be a part of this time, and that God has something he wants you and I to work on. Probably multiple, if we could be honest, but let's just focus on one. I believe there's a reason. So I just encourage you, whether you never come back to class again or not, that's fine. I don't want that, but that's fine. But I encourage you to do this because I believe the Lord can do some real healing. And I'm telling you what, if we're plagued by something, we're not effective for the kingdom. Yeah. If toxic thoughts or even just one toxic thought is ruling our mind, we are distracted and we are not as effective for the kingdom of God, for our families. This stuff doesn't just heal you. It's going to heal all the relationships around you. It will make everything better around you when you and I have control of our thought life. So we'll do it one at a time. We're not going to be crazy. We're not going to try to fix everything in our mind because it's not possible. But we have some practical steps we can begin. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll unpack them a little bit more like we did with this first one. Okay?